for this evening, Lord. We thank you for this time that we can gather here in the middle of the week, as we have done for many weeks, Lord, and just to have that assurance that as we meet here, that you are here with us, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would bless your word as it goes out this evening, Lord. We pray that as we read your word, Lord, we would read it with understanding. We pray, Lord, that as we read your word, that your word would accomplish its purpose in our hearts and in our minds, Lord. That you would bless our lives, Lord, and that work that you began in us, Lord, in terms of sanctifying us, Lord, that you would continue that work in us. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this evening we are in Genesis chapter 18. We are in Genesis chapter 18. And last week, when we were in chapter 17, we saw how the Lord appeared to Abram, and he renewed the promise that he made to him with regard to him having a son that would come from his own body and from his wife Sarah. And this was after Abraham and Sarah sort of took matters into their own hands, right? And going into Sarah's handmaiden Hagar and having a child, Ishmael. And as we talked about last time, you know, there was a point in time where Abraham felt like maybe, you know, the Lord's gonna keep his promise of providing a nation, but it wasn't gonna come actually through him. Maybe he needed to adopt, you know, one of his key servants, and that was how it was gonna happen. And the Lord made it clear, no, this child was gonna come from your body. And then Sarah, you know, did the same thing. She kind of thought, well, now the Lord has made it clear that, you know, it's Abraham, it's gonna come through Abraham, and so maybe I'm the one that's not to be involved in this. Let me help the Lord out in what the Lord is doing here, and let me suggest to Abraham or Abram that he go into her handmaiden Hagar. And after all of that and the whole mess that occurred out of that, the Lord came and clarified in a miraculous way, in a marvelous way, that you know, to both of them, to say, look, this is going to happen what I said. You're going to have a child, even in your old age, and that child is going to come from the two of you, and he's going to cause it to come to pass. Now, here in chapter 18, we're going to have the Lord come and even, you know, confirm in a greater detail here this promise that he's making, and he is going to do it personally. So let's take a look at this and see what we can glean from this. So Genesis chapter 18, verse 1, it says, "Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day." And so we know that this was a place where Abraham would sojourn, right? He set up his tent here by the oaks of Mamre, these terebinth trees, and so here he is, and it says it's in the heat of the day, so it's in the middle of the day. It's at the hottest time of the day. It's essentially, you know, noon, and it's, you know, they're in the Middle Eastern heat here. And so, you know, Abraham goes into his tent and he opens up the flap or the door of the tent, and he just kind of sits there to cool himself off in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day. And it says here that the Lord appeared to him. And let's see how he appeared to him. In the second verse here, it says, "So he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. And so we know that at this point in time, based upon what we read last week, Abraham is 99 years old. This account, what's going on here, occurred right after what we read about last week in chapter 17. He's 99 years old, and we see him. It says that he looks up, and then all of a sudden, these three men appear. They just appeared, sort of out of nowhere. And it says here that Abraham ran from the door tent to meet them, and he bowed himself to the ground. So here this 99-year-old man is running here, and it says here that he bowed himself to the ground, and that really is really signifying it's a place of humility, but many see these words as that it was a thing of worship here. What we're going to find out is that these three men who appeared to Abram here, two of them were angels, and one of them, this was Jesus Christ himself. It was basically what is referred to as a Christophany. This is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And it is the second pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. The first one was when Sarah got angry with Hagar and kicked her out of the house, and the it says that the angel of the Lord appeared to Hagar. That was the very first pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ, and this is the second one here. And so let's see what Abram does as he encounters the three of that were before him here. In verse 3, it says that he bowed himself to the ground and said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh your hearts, after that you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant." They said, "Do as you have said." And so here we see what Abraham wants to do here. He is, number one, he's showing a tremendous amount of hospitality. That's the first thing that becomes really evident here, is the hospitality that Abraham is showing. And it's very typical of the Middle East, hospitality. But I think it's also instructive, to say, this Abraham is the man of God. He is the model of a man of faith, a man of God. And number one, we see him showing humility. But secondly, we see him showing a tremendous amount of hospitality. We know from the New Testament, it talks about how we are to be hospitable to all, right? To all men, because we don't know. It says that we might be entertaining angels without even knowing it. And I think that particular verse in the New Testament is probably pointing to, this would be a great example of that. So in any event, he was showing a great amount of hospitality. He starts out by saying, "Hey, look, I want to bring a little bit of water to wash your feet." And that, again, is another thing that's typical in the Middle East when people are traveling. They're traveling by foot. They don't have bicycles, cars, or anything like that. Buses. They were, either walking or on an animal, and it's dusty and so forth. And so, again, it's a thing of hospitality and a thing of humility to wash the feet of someone. And here we see Abram making that offer. And then secondly, it says here, "I'll bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. And so he starts out, and he really wants for them to stay. It's something that is a genuine thing for him. It wasn't just like a thing of, you know, oh, please stay, but you're hoping that maybe they'll say, no, that's not what I want to do. You know, one thing I wanted to mention about the hospitality thing is that, you know, I said it's a Middle Eastern thing. I've heard from Jenny and from other people like Andrew that in Iraq, even today, you know, the whole thing about hospitality, you know, you could have family or friends of the family or whatever that just come and drop over at your house at any time. And there's an expectation that you're going to, you know, drop everything that you're doing and you're going to go and you're going to make a meal and you're going to make them feel comfortable. And, you know, and who knows how long they may be there. They may decide, you know, I think we're going to stay here for a couple of days or whatever, or for a week or whatever. And you just, that's just how it is. And so this is just the way it is, you know, in the Middle East. But we see here this Abraham, this man of faith, this friend of God, that was part of sort of who he was. But he starts out by saying that, hey, let me bring a morsel of bread, but he's going to do way more than just bring a morsel of bread, as we're going to see here. And so he's really, you know, urging them, hey, please stay, you know, I want to do this. And they said, yeah, sure, do whatever you want to do. And so in verse 6 it says, so Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, make 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. And so you see, you know, by the words here, he's saying, you know, he hurried to the tent, and he's saying to Sarah, you know, quickly make ready this bread and so forth. Now we know from the prior chapters, right, from the times when Abraham, they went to war and they had, you know, like you know, a few hundred men, right, that were fighting. We know that there was at least Hagar, right, that was a servant and so forth. The bottom line is that Abraham likely had many, many servants, right? But here he is hurrying around and he is having Sarah herself. This is a special thing. It makes it clear, at least in my mind, that Abraham knew that, you know, he was, you know, entertaining these angels and the Lord himself. And so he wanted everything to be perfect. And so he went to her and said, quickly make 3 measures of fine meal and knead it and make cakes. And then it says that Abraham ran to the herd and he took a tender good calf and gave it to a young man and he hastened to prepare it. And so we see here another thing is that the Lord is going to provide the best, right? He doesn't go and say, oh, let me go find, you know, a scrawny cow because I don't want to, I want to, you know, save the best, you know, cow for myself or what have you. He finds a tender and good calf. You know, he picked out the best that he had to offer and to provide to these guests, one of whom is the Lord himself. And the other thing that is a reality is that, you know, this all takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of hard work. You know, it's not like today where, you know, if somebody came into your house, you could just say, oh, I'll run to the restaurant. I'll go to, you know, to California Pizza Kitchen. What do you want? What do you want? You know, and just take an order and go and pick up stuff and bring it back. I mean, they literally had to go and slaughter this calf here. So it was a big deal that they're doing. And we already know from the very beginning that this was in the heat of the day. You know, they're doing this, well, it's hot and you know, they're definitely probably sweating and they're working hard here. Verse 8, it says, so he took butter and milk and the calf which he prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. And so here again, we see what he's taking here, butter and milk. It's really, you know, talking about cream, right? We're talking about the best, you know, the best of the milk here that he's providing to them. And he's setting it before him. And it says here that he stood by them, you know, almost like a servant, right? He's standing by them under the tree as they ate, which is, again, like I said, it's a thing of humility, but it's also, it's just typical of the way that the way that they were hospitable. It's not like, you know, like you have somebody over your house and you say, okay, here's the food, and everybody just kind of goes in there and has it or whatever. The way that they did things at this time is they would stand, you know, the host would stand back and let the guests eat and have, you know, whatever they want and make sure that they've had, you know, all that they want, and they would have the what remained. And so we see Abraham sort of following of those traditions. And so this whole thing here, the Lord is not just here because he wanted to have a meal, although it really does sort of demonstrate sort of a sense of a fellowship. You know, when you eat a meal together with someone, there is a sense of being one with that person, right? That's just a principle. And so we see that sort of fellowship. But the Lord is here to deliver a message to Abraham and Sarah. He wants to tell them something. And he doesn't, you know, up to this point, you know, he had been talking to Abraham. He's appearing to him, he's speaking audibly, and Abraham is hearing what he's saying, but he's not there personally. And so in a way, it's like, you know, when you want to deliver a very important message, you would want to do it in person, right? Like if you were, if you're doing anything that's really important, you don't want to just like send a text or send a letter or send somebody else. The Lord himself is going to come and appear to the Lord, I mean, to Abraham and Sarah to deliver this message. So it's a thing of encouragement, but it's also to show the strong relationship that God had with Abraham and with Sarah, and just really that the thing that we all know, that Abraham was a friend of God, and this is one example of that. And so here, as they are sort of finishing up their meal, the Lord, as he usually does, you know, it's so interesting how you can see, and we kind of talked about this a couple of weeks ago, how the Lord, when he operates, when he does things, it's so similar to how we see him all throughout the Bible, but particularly like in the Gospels. But notice in verse 9 what the Lord says. It says, then they said to him, where is Sarah your wife? So he said, here in the tent. You know, it's asking a question as if, you know, the Lord doesn't really know where she is. So here they are together, and, you know, Abraham is serving them, and they're outside of the tent, it appears. And so she's there in the tent, and she's eavesdropping, right? She's listening to what they're saying. But he, in a way, in it says they said to him, but they're getting her attention in a way. So to the extent that, like, she's maybe listening, but then we say, hey, where's Sarah? And she's like, you know, really want to take note of what is going on here. And then here the Lord says in verse 10, and he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. And so here the Lord says it, and he says it in a very powerful, strong way. He says, I will certainly return to you. You know, so he's going to return. And when he comes back, he's saying here, Sarah, your wife, is going to have a son. So here this 99-year-old man and his similarly old wife, Sarah, she was a little bit younger than him, like probably about 10 years younger than him, but still very old. And she was listening.